This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Joshua Ryan Rusin, the community director of Jake and Gino. Josh, how are you doing today in the office with all that energy going on, bro?
Gino, I'm doing well, man. And something just hit me, something pretty profound. And as we were speaking to today's guests, what I realized is through the community and the academy, I actually have friends in every state. And the cool thing is I'm from Michigan. So as I go home for Christmas this year, we're talking about getting a meetup together of everyone. And my favorite thing about it is these are all people that have long-term goals that are making it happen. And really, people I'm proud to call my friends. So it was just a profound thought that hit me that made me really happy this morning. Gino, what's going on in your world, bro?
My profound thought is that Jake and Gino credit card is going to get chopped up over there. So you can go out and you can have your own meetup and you can have your little macchiato that you're drinking over there. It can be on the J. Rusin, the Jaybird credit card. So, and I agree with you, Josh. What I think embodies the Jake and Gino community more than anything else. Hey, listen, you can go out and watch YouTube videos. You can watch videos on anything. The education is out there. The difference is we teach students how to implement that education. And how do you implement it is there's a couple of reasons. You hold yourself accountable. You find other partners in the community. You find other team members. You find friends in the community. And multifamily is a team sport. And that's what ends up happening, starting from 0 units a few years ago to over 23,500 units that the students have closed. That doesn't happen just by chance. There's a lot of hard work going through from, you know, Josh, going through Dylan, we have McKenzie, we have John Griffin, we have Jake, we have my brother Mark. It takes a team to build a business and it takes a team to build a multifamily business. So I'm really proud to be part of that. And all the community members, I can say they've been all amazing. They've transformed my life. And I think we're out there trying to transform people's lives as well.
Making it happen. All right, let's get to today's guests. We have Mr. Ken Baker. So a little bit about Ken. He's managing partner of Bridgeland Investment Group, which is an investment group based out of Michigan that focuses on properties that are between 200 units and B-class markets. Their tagline is turning complexes into communities, with the focus being on owning the customer experience and providing a better quality of management to their residents while improving resident retention. Prior to real estate investing, Ken was a regional sales manager for a national marble company and owned a travel wear clothing company that focused on sweatsuits and garments that were stylish, comfortable, functional for travel. After a few years in business, he purchased a few single-family homes for tax auction, which he renovated and turned into rentals. He quickly realized that wasn't the way to scale and dug into podcasts and books, where he ultimately found multifamily to be the answer. He sold his single-family properties and put his attention on apartment complexes. Right now, they own 60 units spread across Tennessee and Ohio and are looking to scale up with more deals in the pipeline. Welcome to the show, Mr. Baker.
Thank you, guys. I'm blessed to be here.
So, all right, Ken, let's bring it way back, man. So you're a regional sales manager. How'd you get into sales? Why sales? You know, where did real estate come from? Give us the story of you.
Yeah. It might be a little bit longer on the real estate, actually. So I got into sales first, just because I knew sales was one of the positions where unlimited income. So the only other position in a job, as I looked at, is pretty much executive. So at sales, I knew that I had the ability to go out there and kind of bring food to the table. So I really enjoyed that. But real estate actually started very young. I had a grandmother that she actually moved from New York to Michigan. And each time she purchased a few houses in Michigan, and each time she brought me along. So I was a little kid and I seen the transaction, and it kind of seemed simple to me, just because I seen this elderly lady. She'd go in, do the closing, and there she had a house. So in my mind, it wasn't that hard. As I got older, I realized it was a little bit more difficult, but I think I picked up pretty quickly from her. And I realized once I got to be a teenager, young adult, I realized then with leverage, you can buy larger properties. And that's kind of what got me into it.
So I got to jump into the catalyzing statement that you had, Josh, mentioned turning complexes into communities. As a sales associate, I would think, and Josh would probably agree with me, that catalyzing statement is you eat what you kill. That's the catalyzing statement, right? You're out there, you're doing your deals, and that catalyzing statement really defines sales. I mean, whatever money you make. And how did you come about the catalyzing statement of that? Because for Jake and Gino, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. Domino's have it there in under 30 minutes. Every great company, every great organization starts with that. And I think at the Jake and Gino community, I really want to focus on that. We're creating entrepreneurs here. We're creating businesses. And right now, if you go to an investor, or you go to a partner or to a bank and you give them that catalyze a statement, turning complex into communities. They already know what you do. They already understand what you do. How did you come up with that tagline?
Yeah. So I have to give credit some to my partner, Luis. We had both been actually renting. I rented a nice condo in a really good market, and he was renting a nice apartment, but we had totally different experiences. And it was just from there that we said, you know what, it changed our mentality on the investing. At first, we looked at it from a unit count standpoint. Like many people, they set their goal by looking at what their friends are doing and what others are doing and say, hey, I want to have 500 units, or I need to have X amount per month coming in. Me and Luis kind of had a different approach. We said, you know what, he had some bad experiences at his apartment. He had a leak in his roof that damaged some of his property. While me, I had a great landlord, essentially, that he would take care of anything and everything. And it was just like, I was paying higher than market, but I was very happy with that because he took excellent care of me and my wife. And at the same time, Luis, he said, he was like, you know what, this isn't what we want to do. We want to focus on providing and owning the customer experience. He said, customer experience is proactive. It's when we have an issue, we already know we're going to have issues from time to time, but already have procedures and processes in place to take care of that. And he said, you know, customer service is reactive. So we always want to be on the forefront, being proactive with customer experience. So one thing that we try to pay attention to is before we lease up a unit, we listen to our potential residents, listen to their hobbies, their likes, and we keep that in mind. So down the road, when we provide, you know, service or even gifts and things like that, we remember, hey, this guy likes this special team. We're going to give him some kind of gift towards that. Even, you know, just staying on top with surveys, and even when they move out, asking for, you know, recommendations and referrals. So things like that. It was just from the experience that we both had, and it kind of developed from there to say, hey, we're going to turn these complexes into something that people want to enjoy, and they feel it's a community environment.
Music to my ears, Josh. I could start singing a little opera. I'm not going to sing opera. Maybe later, because I'm really happy today and I got Ken on. But if you look at the book, there's a wheelbarrow there. And what the wheelbarrow means is the three-legged framework. It's buy right, finance right, and it's manage right. And what Luis is doing, customer experience, things that's music to my ears, because that means you're driving NOI in a great way. You're creating a great experience for the resident, and you're also creating a great experience for your investors or for yourself, because you're going to be making money. So that is truly the win-win of multifamily. If you're able to actually turn a complex that's run by a mom and pop, or that's run substandard, like your partner Luis is, and you can take that and you have that valuation through operation, not just renovation. There's a lot of properties out there that are run operationally inefficiently or operationally bad, or no other way to say it, and you can turn them around. That is awesome. Ken, let me ask you, what problems were you experiencing before joining Jake and Gino? And multifamily, everyone thinks, a lot of us think out there, think it's pie in the sky. I started with a triplex. We just did a little video with Jake before. And that triplex to me was like, man, I have arrived. I can't get to a 50 unit apartment complex. What problems were you experiencing before joining the community?
So I guess it was more so we were really studying it almost like a college course. So we would send each other podcasts regularly, books. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, again, like you said, it was pie in the sky for the bigger properties. So we were, you know, when I first started, it was, oh, I'm going to get four plexes and live off that income and then figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. But what we did was actually, we took it serious, like I said, like a course. And we said, you know what, we have to have brokers take us serious. And we had been listening, like I said, we would listen to specific things. We would listen to cost segregation or operating your properties on these podcasts. We would listen into finance. So we were really dialing in, and we were making offers actually on properties before we joined the community. But we needed to be around people that were actually doing it. We weren't in the vicinity as much. We would go to meetups and such. But once we decided to pull the trigger and get with Jake and Gino, it was like a light bulb turned on. And I always tell people now, looking back, I think it's very important to pay for your education. I think it's very good to learn for free, obviously, if you can, whatever you can, because it's going to get you to a knowledge base to where you feel confident to then talk to people. But when you pay for something and you pay for that education, you take it serious. You plop down that check. You know, it's no longer a game. It's a serious thing that I have to perform. And that was night and day for us. And I'm very thankful for the community, because it put us around our partners. It put us around other investors. It's helped us grow so much. And honestly, I see even friends that aren't involved in real estate around me now want to be a part and learn more. So it's been a great experience.
Ken, do you mind if I share my experience with what you were talking about as far as paying for education? So yep. For me, when I started out in 2005 and 2006, I had extra money. I went out and I took massive action. I didn't have the education, made a couple of really big mistakes. That's when I decided I need to get educated. And I plopped down a ton of money back in 2008 and 2009, more than what we're charging now. And I, at the time, it really held me accountable because you know what? I'm going to be on those Monday lessons. I'm going to the boot camps. When I go out to property tours, and for me, it just changed. And I've continued that along. Jake and I have spent over $500,000 in the last 3 to 4 years on additional coaching, whether it's scaling up coaching, whether it's traction coaching, whether it's speaker coaching, whether it's just learning how to host an event with 800 people. I've never done that before. I can wing it. But if somebody has the success, success leaves clues, and you know, you either pay to play or you seek to serve. And if you want to seek to serve, that's great. When you're younger, you can obviously do that. It's going to take a lot longer. I don't look at it as paying. I look at it as investing. And that's what happened to me. When you use that word pay, I used to think that way also, but I'm looking at it this way. You've got that knowledge from Jake and Gino. I've got that knowledge from my mentors and the knowledge I've learned over the last 3 years with personal development, with life coaching. I've invested in that and I will take that with me for the rest of my life. And I will continue to add building blocks. It doesn't happen all at once, everybody. You need to have that long-term mindset. You started A, then goes to B, and then goes to you continue to stack up and continue to grow. And you know, the funny thing is, I'll leave you with the Mark Twain quote. It's not what you don't know that's going to get you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so.
I think you said something big there where it's not a cost, it's an investment. Mm-hmm. And when you reframe yourself that way, it's night and day. And the same thing, we're looking at things like Dan Sullivan's strategic coach and mm-hmm. and building a self-sustaining business and stuff. And now I look at it with excitement. Like, I can't wait to become a part of this and grow even more. So it's who you become from it. Yes.
I love that. And so that quote that I just mentioned is, if you're out there saying, I can't get into multifamily, well, that's something you don't know. If you think you can't, then you never will. That's something that you're assuming, right? If you're assuming that multifamily is just buying a couple of assets and all that, that's not what it is. There's so many different skill sets you need in this business that you can bring. If you're on the sales team, if you're a salesperson, wow, maybe all of a sudden you can go direct to sales and you can find those deals for somebody and partner with somebody that way. If you like more of an operations, or maybe you can be the boots on the ground. If you're more of the underwriter, liking looking at deals and doing budgets, there's another aspect of it. So there's so many different aspects to this business that when you first start out, you probably have no idea, no conceptualization of it. I didn't. And then when I started learning, I'm like, wow, there's so many different facets to this. There's so many different strategies to this. You can either buy your properties yourselves, you can syndicate, you can use creative financing. There are so many things out there that if you don't immerse yourself with a like-minded community, sometimes that just may pass you by. So you're putting in offers by yourself with Luis. When you get into the community, what ends up happening? What's the difference of those offers going in as far as sharpening your pencil? As far as I remember, I've been on the call with you a few times looking at deals that had a tremendous amount of CapEx and you're like, Gino, should I do this? So being able to ask coaches and being able to go over the budgets much better. What was the difference between before and after?
A night and day difference. I'm the analytical guy. I love underwriting. We have actually a process to where Lewis usually does the back of the napkin. He's the one that talks to a lot of the brokers. Once something looks like a go, he says, hey, Ken, here, I've got the back of the napkin. I'm going to send it over to you. You dig in. Mm-hmm. The difference was honestly was being able to dial in expenses and knowing line items, what it should cost and things like that. It's great because now looking back and looking at all the deals that we looked at, I mean, I underwrote 214 deals in the past 2 years. And out of those, we put 4 under contract and closed on, you know, 2 of them. So if you look at it from that aspect, we really dialed in. It's been become to where I can look at a deal pretty quickly and tell you where their expenses are and where the income should be and say if it's a yes or no. So that was the big thing, being able to the coaches to look over it and say, you know, this is what you should be looking for. This is what you'd be watching for. If this is a, you know, ABC class property, you then know where these line items, for example, contractor fees or, you know, contractor costs and things like that, or repair and maintenance, things like that. So that's been huge.
So everybody, that's very important what Ken's talking about. He's talking about the buy right criteria. He's dialed in his buy right criteria. Maybe before then, he was looking at too many opportunities. 200 deals to underwrite, it's the race to 80. So every 80 deals on average, you get one deal under contract. So you've gotten race to 100. Right. But not going out, you're doing back of the napkins and all that kind of stuff. So for every 100 deals you look at, you close one deal. That's actually a pretty good ratio. Yep. When you get better and you get focused on it, you're looking, you'll even focus that number down even more. When we are in the market cycle, you may have to look at 120 deals. When the market cycle softens up, that may go down to 60 or 70, but continue to refine that buy right criteria is very, very really, it's really one of the cruxes of being an entrepreneur, because you're focusing on exactly what you want. You're not looking at anything else. And whatever you focus on, you're going to land that property or that project or whatever you're looking to do.
I knew that the reps were important. I wasn't worried so much about closing the deal as much as I knew that the reps were going to get me familiar with what the was the ideal type of deal for us. And I think that's what was great about that.
Yeah, I think that's a really key point, right? If you can focus on activity-based goals, it'll get you to the outcome, right? If I want to go get a six-pack, but I say, hey, you know, I can do that in 6 months, and let's say I don't, it's easy to get discouraged. But if I know that if I go to the gym every day, I eat a healthy diet, I get 8 hours of sleep, and I drink a lot of water, you know, I know that that'll lead to my outcome. So for you, putting that back to multifamily, right? Connecting with brokers, underwriting, putting in LOIs, you know, it's not if, it's when you'll create that success. And then here we are today and that happens. I think that's a really good mindset.
And so speaking on that a little bit more, actually, is we had a process because we knew the natural progression of most investors. You typically see, you know, investors will start out as LP investors. Then they may move towards co-GPs, co-sponsors, and bring value to somebody else's deal by raising capital, boots on the ground management. And then you see sponsorship. So that's a pretty natural progression that we were seeing. So we said, you know, we're in the Jake and Gino community. We got in this to become sponsors and become joint venture and partners and eventually, you know, have, you know, vertical integration. So what are the two that we want to focus on right now? We focused on co-sponsorships and finding our own deal. And then we broke it down into steps and targets. So what we did for both of those, we said, hey, where are these co-sponsorship deals and what are the activities we need to do to find those? Well, simply, we have to network. We need to talk to people in the community. We need to talk to investors to where we could say, hey, is there a potential that we could bring some value to your deal? So that was that aspect. Then for our deals, we said, what do we have to do? What is the activity? And that activity was underwriting 3 to 5 deals per week. And so simply we broke those two targets down and those were our two main focuses. And sure enough, our first deal technically was a co-sponsored deal that we brought capital in somebody else's deal. And 3.5 months later, our deal goes under contract and that's our JV sponsored deal with us. So we had literally a framework that we worked with to make it happen.
That's what I love about you, Ken. You have the ideas. You already know what you want. You just needed a little bit of guidance. You needed a little bit, those little few little tweaks have changed, I think, everything for you. Now, you haven't answered, or we haven't asked, which we should have, why multifamily? Why this vehicle specifically for you? What are you looking to achieve with it?
Yeah. So I look at, and me and my partner said something again, I give him a lot of credit because we balance each other out. He said one day before we were even part of the community, he said, Ken, don't create another rat race. And what he meant by that was this, it's easy to set your goals by what's typically told or what you see around you. I started saying, you know, what is my true potential, my goal? And it's more of a vision for myself and who I want to become. I'd like to become a expert multifamily investor, as well as acquisition entrepreneurs, which is, you know, somebody that purchases businesses. And then I broke it down into metrics again to where I said, you know, if I can take 5 to 10 deals and bring them full cycle and hit the metrics that I want to on those deals, in my mind, I feel I'm an expert to myself. And that's kind of what it's the vision that pulls me. So I'm constantly pulled toward that. Anytime I have an obstacle arise, I ask myself, is this how an expert is going to be performing? Is this how they're going to, you know, go about the solution for this? And then we kind of said from there, you know, what is our goal for our properties? And that's where it came up with turning complexes into communities and really focusing on that. We would like to essentially build a portfolio in this area of Michigan that we would just, you know, like to build upon and have to where we're one of those companies that people talk about and say, hey, you know, that is a very good, those are very good communities to live in. They take care of their, you know, the residents and we're, you know, the bell is ringing when they hear about us. So.
I love the whole progression from just wanting to buy deals to actually wanting to build a business. Now, we've already spoken highly of education and the community. If I'm a new investor, where do I start? What are the first couple of things that I need to be doing to bring it back to whether you're listening to the podcast, reading books, picking a market? What should they be focusing on? Obviously, they need to join some type of platform education, but what can they be doing right now if they haven't started yet?
I think a big thing is just try to find somebody that's already in it, even if you're not in the full community. And reach out, take them out to lunch, talk to them. Obviously, coaching is huge. I think once you're ready for that, take that on. Because once you put yourself in the room with people that are doing it, the vision that you had, it exponentially grows. I didn't think before that, you know, like I said, before my thought process was 4 fourplexes and, you know, I'd be done. And now, you know, the first deal was 40 units, the next deal was 20 units. You know, and we look at some deals that are upwards of, you know, 200 plus units now. So I think it's just putting yourself in the room with people, talking to them And then also really breaking down your goals. Sometimes those big goals are exciting, but sometimes it might be just, hey, let me figure out how I can get this X amount of money to replace my income from my W-2 job. Mm-hmm. I think those are big things to dial in. And that's pretty helpful in my eyes.
What Ken's trying to say is don't put a third unit deal on the contract and then go looking for the answers. I've had somebody reach out to me this week and they're like, I need help. I've got a 30 unit deal on the contract. And my first thought is, have you selected the right market? Do you have the right exit strategy? Are you overpaying? Do you know the expenses? Have you underwritten the deal? You know, why are you buying this property? What are the value adds? There's so many questions that are going out there. You know, people are always focusing on, I want deal flow. Well, first of all, the first question should say, is it a deal for you? You have to figure out what you're looking for. A deal that for Josh may be a lot different than a deal that I'm looking for. So that's really, really important. Before we get into the short answer questions, Ken, talk about that first deal. How did you find that first deal? Why did you buy it? What were the value adds on that deal?
Yeah, so I'll speak about the 20 unit deal that's ours we had found. And it was a deal that I feel like fell through the cracks. We actually found it on Realtor. And I feel like when you find them on Realtor, it's a lot of times you'll have residential brokers that don't know what to do with it. So the photos weren't that good. The deal didn't look too enticing to most people, I think, because the photos weren't that good. And the pricing was close to $2 million for a 20 unit deal. And we had looked at it once. Lewis was like, no, the price is a little high. And I was like, oh yeah, okay. And then we came back and I said, no, we have to look at this. And so when we dug into it, these were all 2 and 3 bedroom townhomes, or 2.5 bathrooms and full basements. So these things were huge, you know. They're in a B market in Sylvania, Ohio, which is a solid market, solid school system. And when we dug in, we realized, you know, it was a mom and pop owner. The owner actually lived in California. And his sister was managing it. They would collect, you know, checks. They would collect rent this month. And then if people were late, they'd collect it a month later or something. So you would have inconsistent incomes. And we've seen already the rents were below market. Probably there was a few in there as low, $340 below market.
Wow.
So what we did, we seen the opportunity. I negotiated before we even got it under contract. So I was able to negotiate about $200,000 off of the purchase price before under contract. Then when we got under contract, we also negotiated another $30,000 repair credit. We picked it up for a good price, and then we went in and we put about $5,500 in a few units and brought those up to market rents. We added, non-refundable move-in fees. We added a RUBS for the utilities. And now within actually 5.5 months, we are able to turn 16 units to not physically renovate all of them, but we were able to bring them all up to market rent. We literally, I think, now have three that are just a little bit below market rent, but we've been able to hit our second year numbers within the first year. Four of the units are 3 bedrooms. So those ones are all getting 1300 or 1325 if there's a pet. And then the other ones are getting 11 to 1150 for the 2 bedrooms.
Okay.
So I think 11... our average are right around 1115 or 1120 total, I think.
Then you have fees in there. So you're what age is the property? What year is
it? It is a 69 build. But the good thing about it is the thing is solid. It's built like a tank. So it's 12 inch on center studs. It's poured concrete. So the thing is pretty solid.
And the other thing that I love about it is I love the unit mix. I love the townhomes. It's really an apartment complex, but it's resident living. It feels like you have your own home. So it's something that will always be in demand there, correct? And it's something that you'll be able to manage. That is a great deal.
Incomes went from $17,300 per month to, I believe we're sitting right at $22,400 or $500 a month right now.
That is awesome. That's great. And how did you finance the deal?
So we went community bank. We actually, at the last hour, had a bank fall out. I had to contact you guys and figure out what to do. Sure enough, I actually had a local bank that I've banked with for 20 plus years. They picked it up and they said, we like the deal. We were able to get 7-year financing. It was a 4% interest rate. We've got no prepayment penalty, 1-year IO, and it was a 20-year AM, but it was last minute. So, I mean, it worked out perfectly. I actually hit our projections, and we should be able to either refinance it, you know, pretty soon into agency.
Ken's going to come knocking to Jake and Gino for that refi, for that agency debt. That's going to be amazing. You're going to push through 30-year AM. You're going to probably get another 2 or 3 years possibly on IO. Interest rates probably going to drop sub 4. So you're going to actually probably maybe cash out on this deal. You probably, if you don't, your payment's going to drop precipitously and you're going to be cash flowing really well in this asset. So congratulations. That's what the power does. It's patience, persistence, willing to walk away. Think big, Start small. 20 unit may seem like a really small deal to a lot of people, but that 20 unit deal is going to create momentum. All of a sudden, Ken's got a platform where he can show his investors and his other partners that, hey, we've got this 20 unit deal. This is what our business plan looks like. We've been able to scout it. We've got an asset. And now the brokers are going to be coming to Ken and saying, hey, he's legitimate. He's going to be able to close. So congrats on that deal. That's excellent. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, Ken, I got some short answer questions for you here. So what would you say your favorite book you've ever read is and why?
So to be honest, it isn't a real estate book. It's The Power of Now. It's about presence. You know, it's just, I think it talks about, you know, people create anxiety by looking in the future, or sometimes they have guilt from the past. And the only way to really create the future is to live in the presence. And that's probably my number one book of all time. Following that is then, I would say it's The Cash Flow Quadrant, you know, so Kiyosaki. So.
All right. Some Eckhart Tolle and Kiyosaki. I love it. What about best habit for success?
I think for me, it's actually just going to bed early. I just like being well rested. And besides that, it's learning. I'm a lifelong learner. I look at my life as I have the ability to create it by learning. And a book gives you the ability to look at somebody else, how they did it, and you know, apply it if you want to. So
I'm curious, what time is early?
Like wake up or oh, bedtime. I'm usually in bed by about 8:30.
Yeah, I love it. I respect it. Okay, cool. So, all right, I got some huge takeaways from this one. And here is the clear theme. If you can set activity-based goals and put in the grind, it's not if, it's when you'll get results. And then second, you got to crawl before you walk, before you run. And if you look at the progression of Ken and his multifamily journey, as most entrepreneurs, that is very true. And those stood out to me. Gino, what else you got to add to it?
So Josh, this has been a fantastic story. I love the journey. Ken was, you know, he was, I would say, subjected into multifamily to investing in real estate at a young age. He saw the power of it. He got into sales because he wants to eat what he kills. He wants to have no ceiling. He wants to be able to make as much money. And then that just translates over into multifamily. And then starting off his multifamily journey with his partner, Luis, they're going out. Massive education. They've taken massive education on themselves. Then the massive action. The only thing that's missing is that implementation. They're putting in deals. They're putting in offers. They join the Jake and Gino community. And that the story doesn't stop there, Josh, because there's a lot of work involved. I mean, anything that you want in life, there's tons of work. I forgot the number, 215 deals underwritten, 4 under contract, 2 closed. Some people would say, wow, that seems like a lot of work. If you're underwriting 100 deals a year, 50 weeks, that's only 2 deals that you're underwriting per week. How many people would sign up and say, yeah, I want to underwrite 50 deals at the end of the year. I've got 1 deal. I think most of us would do that. It's just a daunting task. And I love the way Ken chunks everything down. He's a sales guy. KPIs, if you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. And he's actually looking at how many deals they have to underwrite. He's looking at all his other key performance indicators to actually perform what he needs to do to close that next deal. So it's been an amazing show. And the last thing I'll leave everybody with, I love his catalyzing statement. I want everyone to think about what you want your catalyzing statement to be, whether it is we create multifamily entrepreneurs or turning complexes into communities. Real simple. He knows what his mission is. He knows that everyone around him knows what his mission is. And that's how you become successful, when you have that catalyzing statement and you can be the leader and you're actually leading everyone towards that mission and that purpose.
Boom. Ken, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can reach me at ken@bridgeland.com, or you can give me a direct call. My phone number is 517-366-8264.
My man. Well, Mr. Baker, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest on the show and sharing your story. Guys, listen, if you like the show, please leave us a review and then see everybody.
Thanks, Ken.
Have a good one.